Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, saints. And this is a part of the Purpose Kingdom Network, and this is a show, Self-Expression Sports Edition. And I'd just like to thank everyone for calling in or listening online, whether you're, no matter where you're at in the world, I'd like to thank you. And I'm just going to invite everybody and thank everybody for joining us for the 1,140th episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. And we're broadcasting live on www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. If you want to call in, if you're online, the phone number to call in is 319-527-6091. And also we have an alternate phone number you can call in, which is 870-4174. And at any time, you can press the number 1. And let me just get everybody started. And if you have a pencil or paper or whatever, we're going to be going over two main scriptures. It's going to be Philippians 3, chapter 14 and 19. We're also going to go through Ephesians chapter 5, 15 through 18. And, you know, now, you know, pretty much I'm just going to just give a opening, you know, statement. Like I said, welcome. You know, if you're a saint, you know, praise the Lord. And if you're a sinner, don't worry. You know, all saints were sinners at one time, and salvation is our testimony. And with that being said, you know, just talking about myself, you know, I'm basically an unpolished, you know, diamond that's in the dirt. You know, I'm basically a sponge absorbing all, and basically relinquishing it back to all that has my voice. And, you know, I know tonight I thought I was not going to have a show because all sporting events, you know, they have been postponed at one sense or another. And even Trump has announced, you know, a national emergency due to the coronavirus. You know, almost all the venues and sports have been shut down. With the exception of UFC fighting, which for some reason tomorrow night they're going to still have their event. You know, I know a lot of, you know, companies are feeling basically a pinch, you know, what's going on and the effect of the coronavirus, but none more than the AB Inbrew, and that's basically the makers of, you know, you guessed it, Corona beer, you know. And you know, the claim has been that, you know, the sales are up and on average, but, you know, that's not true. Only in its home country of Mexico. So a couple of tips, you know, while we're on the subject of some precautions that we can take, you know, and I just don't want to, you know, drone on the coronavirus because I do want to have, you know, this sports ministry going on. And like I said, I know a lot of venues have closed down as far as sports entertainment just because of volume of, you know, just, you know, the patrons that's going to be there and, you know, witness either sports events or be in close contact with one another. So, and, you know, and real quickly, you know, I just want to cover this. And, you know, if you have any questions, you know, just hit one or whatever, and then we can just go over it. But right now, you know, that's what the president has, you know, basically announced a state of national emergency. And with that being said, it's like almost every sport venue has been closed down. It's been shut down either indefinitely or for a short period of time, mostly for the end of, you know, to the end of the of this month right here in March. So there's a couple of tips that, you know, we can take as precautions right now. Okay, one of the things is stop touching your face. You know, we tend to touch, rub, scratch, you know, our mouth, noses, ears, eyes. And, you know, me personally, you know, I know you don't want to hear this, but I find myself picking my nose. That's part of my face. And like I said, that's what I do. And I find myself, as far as face-wise, you know, just try to work yourself in the habit of not just touching your face. This is one of the, you know, the major part or the major entrance points that this virus can enter, you know, whether you're any years of age. And, you know, I know a lot of young kids, you know, they say that, you know, they've said so many, I've heard so many different reports that, you know, kids are basically immune to it. But, you know, we really, you know, don't know, you know, much as far as what other countries are, which is on a mass, you know, they have a way massive amount of infections than us. And another thing, you know, that they suggest you do is wash your hands. You know, sometimes we should do this basically all, you know, all the time, because they're just not the coronavirus out there. We have the regular flu. We have so many different viruses that we can catch, you know. And I know everybody's familiar with the 24-hour flu or the 24-hour virus, where you introduce a virus to your body that is just basically shut down everything and you're sick. And it basically is done and it runs its course in 24 hours. But, you know, this is something different. So we want to make sure that we practice washing our hands. And that's just, you know, basically something we should always be doing. And, you know, one of the focal points that they have noticed is that if you're a smoker and if you smoke, you know, it's more susceptible. We're talking about a viral virus. And when I say viral, that means that it needs a main starting point where it can just get active in your body. And that's through your lungs. And that is like one of the most soft tissues that you have in your body. And if you smoke, just basically stop smoking, because, you know, this is a respiratory illness, basically. And you're just making it easy for this virus to introduce itself to your body. So, you know, all these venues that have this, you know, basically canceled events and, you know, they're stopped doing, you know, the massive contact, you know, I suggest that if you, you know, smoke, you know, just stop, you know, to the end of the month at least, because that's where all these sports venues are the same, that we'll stop doing this to the end of the month. And just think about, you know, with the schools canceled and all that, you know, you have enough money to buy toilet paper and the Sani wipes or whatever, you know, they have out there. Just, you know, with all, you know, all that's going on, you know, just think about it, you know, just think and just, you know, give it, you know, really a good thought about, you know, that's, you know, one of the directions that you want to face. And, you know, that's going to be the end of me talking about what's going on right now, the coronavirus. And I'm just going to just start focusing, not unless if anybody just wants to, you know, if you can press one, we can talk about it real briefly, but I want to go on to my main topic. And my main topic is taking advantage. And I know, like I said, all these sports venues, they have been postponed or canceled. But this is something that, you know, normally, you know, I wouldn't talk about as far as like the cancellation of the sporting events and, you know, taking advantage. Because taking advantage is something that I mostly, you know, want to talk about, because taking advantage is not, it's more than just the word taking advantage. It's just like, you know, overstepping your bounds or just forcing yourself on somebody. What I'm saying is taking advantage is because, you know, mostly in sports, you know, taking advantage, you know, basically of your opposition that's going to be lined up in front of you. Basically, you're sizing them up and you're wondering, hey, I think I am better than this guy. I think athletically I'm skilled. And, you know, you line up against, you know, you do a player two or something like that. But, you know, there is more to taking advantage as far as what I see in the sports world and how I handled the sports world growing up. I handled the sports world was basically just like any other person that was either watching or participating. I used that as, you know, a way to get away from my everyday life. And, you know, I would just basically take advantage of actually just going in and participating in the sports. I mean, I have so much, you know, as far as my early youth, you know, with, you know, and basketball was very much part of my family life as far as, you know, my brothers and sisters. It was just an outlet. It was just something to just get away from it all. But one of the things, you know, that I noticed as I started, you know, not just playing, you know, neighborhood basketball, as I started playing more organized sports, and this is where, you know, I really want to get into the meat of things tonight. Like I said, you know, we're going to be covering Philippians 3:14, chapter 3, verses 14 and 19, and then we're going to go to Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 19. And the reason why I want to go over these verses is they're very important for what's going on right now today. And especially in sports, and right now we have, you know, basically a reset because, you know, March Madness was about to start. You know, the Masters, you know, this is around the time, you know, and real close to NFL draft and the combine, you know, things of that nature, spring training and baseball. You know, everything has been postponed because, you know, basically this is something that, you know, wants to be taken seriously. But also, there is something I always wanted to be taken seriously because in my youth, playing through all these venues, whether it was football, basketball, baseball, it was always a major part as far as, you know, how. And I don't want to just put it on one entity because there was a lot of entities that took them part. But for the most part, it was churches. You know, I feel as though, you know, through sports, churches don't take advantage or formulate the young minds that are basically captivated on a basketball court, a baseball field, or a football field. Because I remember all kinds of, and like I said, I would travel far and wide, you know, just to, you know, play my sport, no matter what it was, football, basketball, baseball. Baseball was the least of them, but baseball was still, it was just a way to get away from getting away, you know. And let me just tell you how I felt. You know, I was always playing on the field, and it was either Our Lady of Mercy Field or Father Judge Field, St. Mary Field, Redeemer of Holy Christ, and it was so many more. It was like, you know, and I remember playing on, you know, one field was called Calvary Field. You know, and, you know, at the time, you know, I knew the names, and the names stuck in my head, and I always was thinking, you know, there's something. At some point, you know, the outreach, and I didn't get it, you know, and the outreach, because we're playing on all these fields, we're playing on all these courts that had, you know, so many different names that mean something, you know, and it depends on your version and your verse and how you study the Bible, you know, is how you took it. But, like, right now, it's like we have a reset button that was just pushed, and you know, that should have been there. Like I said, you know, all these fields, there was name and something that had a meaning or monumental thing that had something to do with Christ. And yet, you know, it was business as usual. It was play ball or, you know, okay, game's over, go home. There was no, hey, you know, this very field, you know, Calvary, you know where it came from or something like that, or the Holy Redeemer. You know, at the time, you know, when you're there, you're a captivated audience. Like right now, it's like through this, you know, coronavirus where it seems like now we're on a state of martial law, even though this is nowhere near the state of martial law that other countries face, because once the government takes a little pinch of freedom, you know, they go a long way. But, you know, if you see how everybody's reacting right now, where they're taking toilet papers off the shelf and basically whatever they can. It's like nobody can find a bottle of Perel. And it's like a bottle of Perel right now is going, you know, for the same thing or the same price as a Gucci handbag, really? You know, that is what's going on, and that's how we do things, you know, and that's how we react. You know, our reaction should not be that way. You know, it's not like, you know, and I'm not going to just down the people that bought out, you know, certain items. It's not like they just turned around and bought, rolls of tall paper towels and Perel, and they're just putting online. No, they're not doing that. They're hoarding this because they feel as though they had to have it, you know. And we've experienced this before. We experienced this, you know, after 9/11, we thought we were going to get gas attacks and stuff like that, and all of a sudden plastic and duct tape could not be found anywhere in Home Depot or Ace Hardware or Joe Blow Hardware or, you know, whatever hardware store. And this is the thing that we do, and this is the thing that's reactionary, and we think that, you know, if the government was smart, they would have stock in it, but the government are no more likely to rise the stock of, you know, Giant Supermarket or BJ's Supermarket or Walmart. Because what they're doing is the government can actually constitute a better control of the people with fear. You know, and I'm just going to real quickly, and like I said, I did mention the scriptures, but if you missed it, we're covering Philippians chapter 3, verses 14 and 19. We're also going through Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 18. And we're going to read that together. First, we're going to start with Philippians 3, chapter 14 and 19, but I was going to give you a chance to catch up. And like I said, this, you know, once we have that captivated, you know, we tend to, you know, back what our government is saying and then forget about what's in our soul. What's in our soul is basically what God has always resonated within us. What we have to do is make sure that resonation stays with us no matter what we do, okay, even when we're going out. You know, buying these toilet papers. When you buy a roll and you have a family of five, you know, there's no need for you to buy 8 and 10 multi-packs of toilet paper and paper towels and, you know, the Purell and all that stuff. Why are we doing that? We're hoarding stuff. And do you know the people do you think people have a idea of where you're going after you leave there, or like they're going to knock on your address or send you an email or call you up and say, hey, I heard you bought this or bought that. You know, can you, I'll pay double. No, it's not working like that. It's just you're hoarding. And even after all this is done, even right now today, when the government put out the mandate that we may be attacked by mustard gas or, you know, toxic gas by, you know, Iraq, which didn't even have a capability of a ballistic missile. Still right now today, people have rolls of duct tape sitting somewhere and rolls of plastic sitting somewhere. Why? Because we thought we were hoarding, and we thought that this is something that we may possibly need, and that, you know, we can, as long as we have it, we don't care who else don't have it. You know how the square footage of your house. You know how much duct tape or tape if you tape this wall to wall. And people still have rolls of duct tape that they have done nothing with. Why? It's because we keep forgetting. We keep forgetting our own testimonies. We keep forgetting that we let what the devil wants to creep in, and that is the fear. Fear. Why do we let fear control our life? Why do we keep conquering fear and let it back in? Because at an early life, we didn't grasp on the structure, and the structure was we thought we were playing around, whether it was a sport, whether it was skipping rope, whatever you were doing. The structure that you have when you're having fun also could be incorporated if there is spiritual leader. And when I say spiritual leader, I'm talking about spiritual leadership. I'm talking about a structure of a church. In my age and when I grew up, young girls had a hard time finding jump rope. And that was their thing. They were doing double dutch and all that. What they would do is they would take miles and miles of telephone cords that they thought was useless, and they're actually cutting people's telephone lines off. Because at the time, we had landlines. And then we had miles and miles of telephone cords either laying around in somebody's yard, and they thought it was useless. They would pull it, yank on it. It was easy to break apart. Next thing you know, you had a double dutch rope. They're playing double dutch. You know, there was easier ways instead of just saying, hey, you know what, I'm just going to take this double dutch rope and I'm just going to beat you. What they could have said is, hey, you know, this is viable, whatever. You know, there were churches at the time that were showing young girls how to not just, how can I say it? I don't know if you call it threading or whatever. They were showing young girls how to just take, you know, strands of nylon and make double dutch rope. You know, and that's when, you know, I felt as though the young ladies had an advantage, you know, from there, because there was some kind of introduction. You know, there was some kind of outreach. You know, and the outreach that I'm talking about that happens on right now today is where the outreach is just that, hey, you know what, we fed, you know, 300 homeless people a cup of soup or whatever it may be. And they figured they're done. Those people came, but they wasn't fed any kind of word. They wouldn't say, they just, you got the people there, they're looking like they're tired. They look like, instead of seeing people, it looked like they're at a funeral home. Like, you know, they're doing something for the dead. You're doing something for people that's alive. Why can't you do anything energetic? Why can't you just say, hey, I hope this is helpful, whatever, and hey, can I leave you with a scripture or something? Something like that. No, but it's just like, hey, you know what, this is a task, this is a job, I got to do it, I'm just going to go and do it. Here, take this cup of soup, take this sandwich, take this peanut butter jelly sandwich, here, shove it, and guess what, this is a carton of milk. Go ahead, take it, get out of here. You know, and they don't say that, but you can just tell from expression. You know, because I've been with people that have done outreach, and I've seen, like, real joy, and I've seen people, you know, after they feed them or whatever, and after they see, like, most of the people have been sitting down and eating, and they say, hey, let me pray for you. Hey, did you pray for your food or whatever, you know? And they said, well, you know, I thought the food was already prayed for. He was like, no, but let me pray for you. Let me just give you a word. Let me give you something before you leave besides food. Now you got no trip. Let me give you a word. What happened to that? Have you ever seen any outreach place right now that does what I'm saying right now today? If you have, you know, you can call me, let me know, you know, because maybe people know, need to know where to go at. I remember going to the Church of the Advocate, going to the Bright Hope, you know, where it was like they were worldwide publishing their sermons and ministry, but 200 feet outside their ministry, nothing was going on. How can you broadcast worldwide? The people right there next to you. It's the same thing how our government does. How do you want to feed people in Rwanda and there's people starving on the street? We still got people living behind the poverty level. Why? Why? Because it's outreach they want to do to think that they make them look good. And I'm not doubting or saying that any intentions was ill will when it came out, but I'm just saying this is why we're in a position right now. How do you think this virus spread? This virus spread because it was already here and it never was taken care of. And you're talking about all the world, other countries, and what they're doing. And now what are you doing? You're converting the same thing. And what you're doing, and you're talking about countries putting their people under martial law. What do you think you're doing? You're closing down schools. You're doing this and you're doing that. And then what you're trying to say is you're restructuring. What you're doing is you're rebuilding it the way you want to do it. You think when everything goes back to normalcy, you think everything will be back to normalcy? You think they're going to say there's an all-clear sign? There will never be issued an all-clear sign until it's the way they feel it is, and that's just the way our government operates. It operates. It says it's not a socialist country. It says it's not a communist country, but we behave just like one. And I just hate to be political right now because I just – you know, I apologize. I just fell far. I don't know how even into. I'm trying to concentrate on sports, but you know, this is the same thing that communists have done to their country, and this is, you know, and I just remember like some sports figure like Yao Ming. Why do you think China let Yao Ming play basketball? Because they benefited. It's just the people work for the government. And how do you think that people work for the government? The government circumvents so many things. Why do you think there's an income tax? Why do you think you don't need your money, but they take your money and they give it back to you when they feel like it with interest they make up? It's the same thing. And I'm like I said, I deeply apologize. I really did want to keep this about sports. And it all started, like I said, with, you know, taking advantage. And that's what, you know, the government does. And I'm sort of on topic, but I kind of got off the topic. But, you know, that's what happens. It all starts with, you know, how things are governed. And how things are governed is, you know, basically what I was stating. So let me just get back on track. And I'm going to I hope you had a chance to get to Philippians chapter 3, verses 14 and 19, and we can go over that, and then hopefully we can get something close to what I intended with tonight's show. And, you know, I don't mean to laugh. It's just, you know, sometimes, you know, I just feel passionate about some things, and, you know, I just feel like if I don't say what I honestly feel, it's like no matter what else I'm saying, it's just like it doesn't matter because it's a portion of what I feel, but this is what I really feel. So, you know, like I said, let's get to Philippians. all right, so chapter 3, and we're going to be doing verses 14 and 19. So let's read together. I press toward the mark with the praise of the high calling of God and Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall never be even, shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, wherefore we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have for an ensemble. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the Christ, the cross of Christ. Wise and whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. It is basically, you know, it's no matter what's going on around you, keep your mind in Christ. And, you know, that's the basic overall message. You know, I'm not ending the show right now, but this is basically, you know, the whole culmination is, you know, keep your mind on Christ. You know, it's a lot of times, you know, we are just, you know, walking aimlessly and not knowing where we're going. We're following rules that we don't even know why we're following the rules. But ultimately, in the end, you know, if we believe in Christ is guiding us. You know, and Christ guides us so much that we could be walking a tightrope and not even know we're walking a tightrope. You know why? It's because we're keeping our focus on Christ. We're keeping our focus on God. We're keeping our focus on the kingdom. You know, we have to make sure that, you know, no matter what we're doing, we have to stay focused on the kingdom. You know, and even in the, you know, the rhetoric and everything that goes on with even the politics, even the rules, you know, ultimately, you know, God always sent a message to everybody, be mindful of the law of the land. He's basically saying, don't break the law of the land, but, you know, I'm in your heart and I'm guiding you. You know, it's basically, you know, continue on, because if you believe in me and you're, you know, you're one of my followers, you keep going, because don't nobody breaks my law. So if you set the law, you're basically setting the law in my word, and not in all countries and all places, but, you know, from what I've read, you know, and even in some Muslim countries, you know, they have, you know, even though they have certain rules against women and they some of them will ask them, you know, some of the things that they say just doesn't make sense, and it automatically dissolves, and it just makes way for, you know, the true law, and how God intended people to live their land, and how he intended to live their life. You know, and as long as we walk and live, you know, the path that he's laid out for us, and yes, these avenues that we have, you know, express, you know, that, you know, we have fun and we love, you know, at times getting away from everyday life, and this is an escape, and all of a sudden this is cut off. But when this has been cut off, this means that we can do what? Concentrate on Christ. Okay, we're sitting here, you know, in our respective homes, and sometimes, you know, we realize that, you know, hey, my family has grown, or, you know what, even the opposite, you know, my kids are grown and they're out of the house. But there's no reason why, you know, you shouldn't say through going through any of these things, and like I said, the loss of the venue of the escape of sports, and it's said to be temporary, even though they say, hey, venue said indefinitely. Some said the end of the month. Even the Masters said that we may start over in sometime in April. You know, that's a definite, you know, right there. But what if there ever was a mandate that, you know, that you receive or whatever, and says you're going to miss your next birthday? That's going to be a major problem, ain't it? I mean, let me picture missing a birthday. What do you think that means? So, you know, the mandate that we got right now is that, you know, indefinite, you know, as we know it right now, you know, it basically means nothing. This is the time that we have, you know, we always are looking for time to do things. We're always saying, oh, man, I'm out of time, or, man, it's time to do this, time for me to get up, time for me to go to sleep. It's basically instead of going on YouTube or you know, looking up an old, you know, venue or old fight or old football game or old basketball game, or looking up Wilt Chamberlain and say, hey, well, you know, heard about that guy. Let me see if they got any footage on that. Well, you know, how about, you know, finding, you know, some kind of way of easing Christ back in your life. You know, this is one of the best times to do it. You know, and it doesn't have to do, you know, it doesn't have to do with the, you know, the missing or the void that you probably feel if you have sports, because, you know, just wait a minute, right? Because when I go to, like I said, the second verse, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 18, we're going to have fun with this, because let me tell you, you can make anything fun. You know, we can make going to Bible study fun. We can make going to our sanctuary's worship service fun. You know, just hang on there, because I'm about to put some things for you to, you know, listen. You know, just wait and listen, because I'm going to make it fun. Now, the word I want, you know, everybody to, you know, if you can while I'm talking, it's going to be circumspectly. And circumspectly is going to be a key word. And if you can look it up, just look it up, and then we'll, you know, like I said, I'm going to continue to talk. And, you know, like I said, the whole thing about sports is entertaining either the masses or, you know, someone. And that goes true for yourself. Because at some point you're going to be, you know, like I said, these iPhones and, you know, these Androids and all that, they didn't exist all the time. You know, there was a time we heavily used our imagination. You know, I know everybody knows somebody that played crate ball because they wasn't around a basketball court, and somebody thought to put a hole in a milk crate and nail it up against something and you know, play basketball there. I know somebody is out there that played halfsies. You cut a tennis ball in half, you didn't have room to play, you know, baseball. you know, halfsies, that was the game, you know. But, you know, right now I don't see kids doing that right now today. I don't see where, though, you know, all these creative things that we did to have fun, where they disappeared. You know, they disappeared just as fast as the telephone booths. You know, I know at a certain point where there were parents telling their kids, I need you to make this phone call, go to the telephone booth. Call Harriet, call Johnny or whatever. And they give them a couple quarters and, hey, it wasn't, everybody didn't always have house phones. And that was when, you know, back in my day, and I don't know if anybody remembers, you know, a house phone. And, you know, it all started out with that rotary phone where, you know, you just dread somebody having a 9 or a 0, but you're like, I got to just flip this thing all the way back here. And you go, oh, man, they got a 7. This is almost far. And then it flips back. You know, and, you know, it sounds funny. And you're like, well, what's so hard about doing that? But after you do that and you're making phone calls and, you know, on rotary phones, and everyone says, okay, well, we got the touch tone, the dial, the touch tone, push button, one of these push buttons, and you have to do all that. But the thing is that even with that, that was annoying. Because if you missed dial or you didn't press the button square on, it would slip over and dial another number, and sometimes you might just get the. And it's like right now with cell phones and stuff like that, and everybody's all digital. You never experienced stuff like that. Or you never just experienced, like, the operator just getting on the phone and was like, hey, you know, we have to cut the line. You're like, why? And basically it was like, hey, you know, your service is cut. You couldn't call 911 or anything like that. It was just basically your service is cut. You pick up that phone, you wouldn't hear anything. You wouldn't even hear a dial tone. You wouldn't hear nothing. You wouldn't even hear static. It was just, that's how thorough that phone service was back then. And, you know, now we have the cell phones where we can instantly communicate with someone, whereas though you don't have an excuse. If someone calls you and they call you again, where were you? I was in the bathroom. Why didn't you answer the phone? Because the phone is portable. It's like it instantly. It's, you know, you should be available. There is no reason why. You can be in outer space, and your phone service could be, you know, could be used. Like, I'm calling you. Why didn't you answer? Because I'm in outer space. Oh, you should have got the phone call faster. You know, we have that instant thing where we want to instantly communicate with people. But do we have that kind of, you know, reliability where we call God? We call on God. What do you think God's going to say? Hello? Oh, yeah, this is Rachel. Who are you? Why do you think somebody would say, who are you? And they call them. They say, who are you? Because they're not sure who your voice is. Like, you know, it's just like anybody. It could be your close friend or relative or sister or brother. They call you out the blue, and you don't recognize the numbers so far. Or it may even say scam likely because you're not even used to the number. You answer the phone, hello? You know, especially if it says scam likely, and you're like, hello? We're like, I don't know if I should be answering this phone call. And they say, hey, this is Mitchell. Oh, my brother Mitchell? Oh, oh man, I didn't recognize your voice. When the last time somebody said they didn't recognize your voice? You know how you felt when they said that? I didn't recognize his voice. Why didn't you recognize your voice? Because you haven't called at all. And I'm not sure how it goes, but with God, it's like, you know, if you don't call him that often, you know, you may call him for stupid basketball games or football games and stuff like that. But how often is that? You know, are you calling for a playoff game or a regular season game? Depends. You know, if you call him for something stupid, he may recognize your voice. If you just call him every once in the blue where it's just like, this is Robert. Robert who? You know, that's where it really sets in. So I was like, hey, I've really been communicating with this person, you know, no matter who it is. Could be your mother, or you know, or your father, or you know, no matter who it is. You know, and they get you get that that realization that, you know, you're not that important to that person you're calling because they didn't recognize your voice and it's been that long. Why should they remember your voice? They don't hear you conversating with them. Same thing how communication with God works. You know, and that's how interference happens. Sometimes you might get discouraged. You know, you get that feeling, you know, you call on him and you feel as though things not happening fast enough. You know, you're not keeping that line of communication open. You know, when God wants you to communicate with him, he really wants you to communicate with him. He wants you to, he really, like, any time you talk to him is not stupid, is not dumb. You know, and I've told y'all, you know, plenty of times when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, you know, I was praying because it seemed like things were going up and down. And I was like, oh, God, come on, you got to do this for me. And, you know, we won, and then the parade was all being set and stuff like that, and I said, I can't do nothing stupid like this. I got to just apologize. I actually put my call in the God, actually my prayer, but I'm going to say my call. I put my call in the God. It's a God, you know what? No, this is childish. This is stupid. There's so many things I could have been praying about. Even right then and that, and even though we won, I look at it and I say, it didn't matter with me just praying and praying and praying. You know, I'm like, I can't remember the last time I prayed that hard. You know, and I said, God, you know, I'm just going to apologize to you for just wasting your time. And I don't know if you did it or you didn't do it, but right now it don't matter. I'm just happy with the outcome, but I'm not happy with how I talk to you, how I communicate to you. And this is so key with a lot of people. Sometimes our communication is not as smooth. You know, when we talk to one another, it's just not smooth. Sometimes you just at that point where I'm just going to get to the point saying this, blah, 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 and that's it. And then you turn around and think about it and say, should I apologize to that person? But then you get to the point it's like, you know who you were talking to, and then that's when your ego gets in there and is like, yeah, I was just talking to who, whatever, you know. If you're talking to God like that, wouldn't you think, you know, there's a power to do? You know, it's the same thing. You see the, you know, the Christ, like the child of Christ in everybody. You know, everybody is a child of Christ. And, you know, if we look at everybody like that, we have more respect for people, and it's like, even though if we are out of pocket, and we just, you know, just assuming that, you know, and that's looking at a person as beneath you, or you is above them, or it's just, you know what, who am I to apologize? Well, you know, God apologized to us. He did. He created us and didn't have, you know, he didn't have a means for salvation for us. So he sent his son Christ. He sent his son Christ to us. For our salvation, God apologized to us and said, you know what? I tried to destroy y'all before. But you know what? And I see things that you go, you know, you guys didn't get it. And I just, you know, promised myself I could wipe y'all out again. But I'm not going to do it. I see another way. I want to personally put my touch on this and make sure and guarantee, because you're all of my creation. You guys are my creation. The whole human race, y'all my creation. And I want to make sure that I just want to make it undisputable, understandable, that I'm just going to have to give up a huge sacrifice in order to save y'all. And he gave his only begotten son. And his name is Jesus. And, you know, if you believe in Jesus and you believe that he died on the cross for our sins, you know, that is part of your salvation. And the other part is to, you know, make sure that you let someone know that you believe that God sent his only begotten son to die on the cross in Calvary. He shed his blood, and he died for us. He died for us because he wanted to absolve us of sin. If those who ever believe in him, believe in his son, and you come to God. All you had to do was admit that with your tongue and just say, God, you know, one of the easiest ways you can just say it is be open in your heart. Excuse me for coughing. But be open in your heart and say, you know, Christ, I'm a sinner. I've been a sinner all my life, and I used to want to resolve myself from sin. I just want to remove myself from sin and believe in your son, Jesus Christ. And for everybody, whoever believes in him will have everlasting life. You just pass that on and just say that to a friend, a family member, and just let them know that you're a believer and that you turned your life over and that you renounced sin from your life, and from there on, you want to begin anew. You know, and after that, we suggest you find a Bible believing teaching, preaching sanctuary, and aren't you the word of Christ? And, you know, if you can't find that church sanctuary or that church home, this is a church without walls here at Purpose Kingdom Network. And anytime, you know, you wish to, you know, come into a sanctuary without walls until, you know, you can sort out that church sanctuary, you know, come on here, Purpose Kingdom Network. You know, you invite it. Make sure you invite a friend. You know, we have many avenues where you could come join us each and every night that we're broadcasting. And, you know, if you want to hear any of our past and previous broadcasts, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. We can hear each and every show at your convenience in its entirety by going there and simply typing in the host name and the show name. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at Purpose_Kingdom, where you can follow any of our social media events that's going on. And one of the media events that we have daily is a morning walk with Christ. And Pastor Toy Daly sets up a morning inspirational word, you know, in Christ through the Bible. And right now I'm not sure what we're in, but, you know, we're always in a chapter in the Bible. And just feel free to, you know, join us and, you know, pass it on with a friend. We also like you to like us on Facebook, where you can see our upcoming shows and advertisements. And with God's will and God's blessing, I will rejoin you tomorrow evening for Self-Expressions, the regular show. This is the sports edition, so feel free to join me tomorrow evening at the 8:30 p.m. hour. With God's will and God's blessing, I thank each and every one of you that's listening, whether you're listening on phone or, you know, the internet. You know, I thank you, and you know, I just love the support that we get here at Purpose Kingdom Network. And, you know, we thank you so much. Don't forget, you know, to all those friends. Okay, so that's gonna be the end of the announcements. I hope, you know, we brought at least one lost soul during the call of salvation. And we hope to bring them closer to Christ. All right, with that, I'm just going to wrap up the show. And as I said, you know, we're going to be concentrating here on Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 18. And, you know, basically, you know, sports is very similar to ministry. And that's why I said, you know, when, you know, hopefully if I have time, I'll repeat this on tomorrow night's show. But for those, I just want to leave you with something. You know, sports is very similar to ministry, as I said. And, you know, when we in church, we can compare things. You know, there's nothing wrong with comparing things. And God, you know, as we go in and, you know, start referencing some things, God is basically the reigning championship team in no matter what respect of sport. And so, you know, basically the Son of God is, no matter what sport you're talking about, is the MVP. And salvation, the reception of a Hall of Fame, a Hail Mary, put by your team. Hell is when the other team catches a Hail Mary. And heaven, you know, basically is seats at the 50-yard line or half court. And angels are the backup quarterback or upcoming player, because everyone hates the starting quarterback when things are 50-50 or you're at 500, and everybody believes the backup quarterback can come in and do better than the quarterback. But, you know, at some point, he was named the backup for some reason. And the doubles are basically cornerbacks and safety. They usually kick off a pass. They usually savory and recognize the pattern and they just intercept the ball. Okay, and preachers are the announcers. Deacons, you know, you get when you can't get to the /pastor. And the deacons are usually there and you just try to get a hold, like, you know, you tell the quarterback, hey, just throw it long. You know, just like the preacher, he's like, hey, or the pastor, you know, hey. You say, hey, pastor, oh, I like the sermon. It was all about me. Thank you. You know, and then we got the televangelists. That's basically the ESPNs and the sports centers. You know, the televangelist is always, you know, telling what's obvious. You know, basically it's something that we either already watched or something that we watch over and over again, and they just keep just saying the same point over and over again. And it's like, you know, basically any telecaster, you know, the televangelists, they're basically the same, you know, as far as, you know, listening to them broadcast. And, you know, we can refer to, like, the game of football, like, sin is, like, when a referee calls, you know, their calls are against us. And we can say grace is finally when the referee calls a bad call against the other team. And the final score is our testimony. And so that brings us back to Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 18. And we can go over that, and let me just grab my Bible, and I hope you have your Bible, and we can just go over it real quickly. And all right, we're in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. I'm going to go read on to verse 18. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor courteous man who is idler have any inheritance in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now, wait a minute. I think I started too far. Hold on. Okay, 15 to 18. All right, sorry. All right, so we're going to restart again. Sorry about that. I started the wrong verse. See ye that ye circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And basically, is what I'm wrapping up with. You know, no matter what, again, no matter what's going on around you, no matter what kind of participation is going on around you, just basically keep the melody of the Lord in your heart. I know, for some reason, you know, a lot of people can have a lot of excuses for, you know, not keeping the Lord in their heart. I know there are so many heartfelt, you know, hardships, so many heartbreaks, you know, just so many disparaging things that go along. But, you know, it goes on to, like, the end of the verse where it just keep the melody of the Lord in your heart. And, in a nutshell, it's saying, you know, always keep a song of praise in your heart. So how can you sing the melody of the Lord, you know, if you don't have a song of praise in your heart? And no, I'm not about to belt out a tune or anything like that. You know, I've tried my singing, but I just want to, you know, everybody keep in mind, you know, it's just, you know, that melody that's in your heart, you know. And one of the things that always, you know, ring true with me is I love, you know, broadcasting here at Purpose Kingdom Network. no matter if it's broadcasting or no matter what kind of capacity I'm doing. I just love doing it. I'm here. You know, I'm just going to be doing it, and you know, I'm going to keep doing it until, you know, I can't do it. You know, if you told me I live to be 100 years old, and I said, hey, you know what, I started in 2016, you know, when I started, you know, broadcasting with Purpose Keeper Network. So it don't matter, you know, how long I do it. I just enjoy doing it. I'm just happy that, you know, if I can, that I reach at least one, you know, one lost soul. And, you know, if not, you know, with God's will, hopefully I'll double up next time. And I'll get that accomplished. But, you know, just by saying, I just, like I said, I always love doing this. You know, whether I'm stealing one of my daughter's catchphrases or, you know, making my own, I'm just happy doing it, you know. And from time to time, you know, it's not, you know, it doesn't hold just to my daughter. I might steal someone else's catchphrases. Like, I did that already, but nobody seemed to notice. So, you know, I'm good with it, and I do give credit where credit is due, you know. And, you know, with that being said, you know, like I said, hopefully, you know, with God's will and God's grace, you know, I'll join you tomorrow evening at the 8:30 p.m. hour, and it's going to be self-expression as the regular show. I hope everyone enjoy, you know, my sports ministry and, you know, have patience with me, you know, going on about governmental things, but that's wasn't my intention. But like I said, overall, as a whole, you know, I'm just thankful, and I just feel, you know, just, you know, blessed just to be, you know, doing a broadcast. I'm not going to keep going on and hold anybody, you know, any longer. Tonight is, it's one of those nights where we just sit there and ponder and wondering, you know, what we do. And I just wanted to, you know, make sure I put, you know, just a little nugget of what to do with that void there, especially, you know, of how things have been abruptly cut short. But that's, you know, what we have to deal with for right now and for the time being. And, you know, just like our life here on Earth is temporary, you know, there are greater things. You know, once one door shuts, another door is open. I hope that door that's opened up is opened up to a sanctuary. And that was the purpose of why I was mentioning, you know, everything I did mention tonight. With that being said, you know, it's been a blast, and I can't keep saying it anymore. I love doing this. And until I see you again, guys, with God's blessing tomorrow, I'm out of here. Peace.
Jesus fled. He raised me. I will not lose. He saved me. I will not lose. I will not lose. Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.